Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the A New Day Show. I'm Daphne Clark Hudson. I'm your host. I'm also referred to as the Queen of the Empowered Soul, and I'm so excited to be joining you this morning for the next 2 hours. I am broadcasting out of New Milford this morning, and we are experiencing an amazing, beautiful Wednesday morning. And regardless of where you are today, whether you are in another country, in another time zone, I just pray that you will take the time to appreciate the fact that you are able to recognize today. We have a guest who has returned to us. And a few weeks ago, we had her on, and the technology was less than generous to us. And I know a lot of the listeners had sent email in about having her back because they weren't able to ask their questions. So I'm praying that you all will join in this morning with your questions and to just let her know how much we here at the A New Day Show love her. And without any further delay, let me welcome our esteemed, honored guest, Mrs. Leslie Householder. Leslie, good morning.
Good morning, Daphne. How are you?
I am wonderful. I pray it is as beautiful where you are as it is here in Connecticut this morning. It's an amazing summer day.
It's probably a little warmer here than in Connecticut, but it is beautiful.
It is still beautiful. At least we are alive to experience whatever weather it is. You know, a couple of days ago when we were having lots of rain here, a lady was complaining about the rain, and I said to her, every day is a beautiful day so long as we are alive. We have beautiful rainy day, sunny day, cloudy day.
Yes.
But so long as we are alive to acknowledge that they are all beautiful days. So welcome back, Leslie, to the A New Day Show. I greatly appreciate it for you being so generous with your knowledge and your time to share with us here on the A New Day Show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me back.
It's a pleasure. Would you please take a little time to once again introduce yourself to the listeners. I know we have some new listeners and we have some returning ones, but would you please take this time to do so?
Yeah, sure. Just a little bit of background. Again, my name is Leslie Householder. I am a wife, been married 18 years, and I have 7 children, and I love my life, and it wasn't always that way. I remember when we first married, we very much, both of us, wanted me to be able to stay home with the children when they started to come along. And that was our agreement, and that was our expectation. And we believed that even though we were struggling financially at that time, that when the babies came, that God would provide a way for us to be able to have that we felt so strongly about. But it didn't quite happen the way we hoped, and things were more difficult than I ever expected they could be, and with the job losses and with not enough education and with difficulties and debts and everything else, it just prevented that from being my reality. I did stay home for the first year with my first baby, but not because we could afford it, but because we were trying to act on faith that somehow it would work out. And at the end of that, we were deep in debt, and my husband lost his job at that time, and it forced me back to work. I remember working at a temp agency and dropping off my baby in the morning at daycare when it was dark and picking him up again at the end of the day when it was still dark. And I felt dark inside, and you know, and I struggled with depression, and we began a search for understanding and for knowledge. I felt like if we were just obeying all of God's laws, that everything would work out, and we were doing the best we could with what we knew. But what I learned was that the blessings that we seek are always connected to a law, and a universal, true principle kind of a law. And I had erroneously assumed that it could be reduced to be good and you'll prosper. Oh. And it wasn't quite that simple. And I know that we were doing the best we could with the understanding we had. We were keeping the commandments as much as we knew how. I realized after we started attending seminars, and we became seminar junkies, I like to call it that, because it was an addiction for me, not in a bad way, but to realize that, you know, every time I went to something that empowered me, I came away with new hope. And, you know, they say that hope is the poor man's bread, and that is what we lived on, was hope. And that's about all we had. And so at one point, and I think I shared this last time, that I was so discouraged and so in this frustrated mindset that when I came outside and found that my broom had been broken in half by a neighbor kid, I snapped and I called the police on him, because I couldn't think of any other civilized way to solve that problem. You know, duct tape never crossed my mind. It's call the police. And you know, and later, I don't know if it was just a habit or what, but another time I had a five-year-old break into my, not break in, okay, my door was unlocked, but while I was gone, a five-year-old wandered into my house and took cookie dough from my fridge, and I called the police on him, too. So, you know, I don't know if anybody can relate to that. We behave differently when we're under stress.
Oh, yes, we do.
And,
yes.
You know, they say that money cannot buy happiness, and that is true. You can be happy without money. But without money, it's easy to go to stress. And when you're stressed, you do weird things.
That's
and
right.
And you do things you regret. And relationships suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And families can be broken up over money stresses. And so
yes.
I think it's important that we get past the fear that it's wrong to seek prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it's just a means to an end. We're, you know, it's not about increasing the dollar figure in our bank account for status or for impressing anyone. It's always for a bigger purpose.
Yes.
And as
yes.
they say, money isn't good or evil. It just makes you more of whatever you already are.
Exactly. Exactly.
And
exactly.
I don't know, have you seen that yourself, Daphne?
Of course. Because just to piggyback, Leslie, on the money factor, when you talk to people who are going through divorces, a lot of times, money is a greater part of that breaking up than any other component of the relationship.
And it's not usually because of too much.
It's never. It's never about too much, at least to the people I'm talking to.
Yeah.
It's not about too much. It's about the mismanagement or not having enough. You know, I grew up in an era when I always hear people say money is the root of all evil. But as I mature, I have my own definition of that. Not having that money could end up the root of all evil, because you're not able to send your children to the schools that they deserve to go. You're not able to pay your bills on time. You're not able to contribute to those charities that you think is worthwhile having. So our early programming in life around money is what hinders us from accepting the fact that money is a great substance, and to have a lot of it is a worthy thing. And not because you are a Christian, a spiritual person, you're a child of God, you're thinking that, oh, no, I need to live a life of poverty. No. If you are walking spiritually, if you are contributing to other people's lives, you need to be flourishing. You need to be wealthy. You need to be prosperous. So I just pray, Leslie, that the listeners this morning and the people who will join us in the chat room will leave this show today with a feeling of gratitude and appreciation around money.
I agree. And that is one of the laws that I'm talking about. You know, I had reduced it to be good and you'll prosper, and what I found out was that all along the Lord wanted me to have abundance. And I know that for a fact. And he wants us to have all that we need for our complete spiritual, mental, physical, all these aspects for our unfoldment. We're here to become all that we can become, and we can't do that without plenty of resources to do that. And so that is one of the keys, is to recognize that, yes, the Lord does want us to prosper, because if we are, if think about it, if the only people who have abundance of money are those who are unscrupulous, then who is going to run the media? Who are going to create the television program? Who will create the fashions of the day? Who will be the politicians?
Exactly.
I think it is one of Satan's greatest tools is to keep faithful, God-fearing people in fear of money, because it keeps us in bondage and it doesn't allow us to win the battle.
That's right. I think it's a friend of mine, Dr. Higginbotham, Gerald Higginbotham from out in St. Louis, Missouri. Dr. G says, he that has the money makes the rule. If you want to have a say in what's happening around you, and the things that will affect you, you better got some dough so you can have a say. Because if you don't have any money, nobody's going to listen to you. You are not even invited to be around the table. So money is not a bad thing. Money is not a dirty thing. If you are bad and if you are dirty and you get more money, then you become more of those things like Leslie mentioned before. Leslie, you mentioned earlier on about when you had your first baby and you were staying home with the baby and you were standing on faith.
Yeah.
I want to piggyback on that a little, and I want the listeners to understand that you are not just standing on faith and sitting on faith. You and your husband was diligently seeking and searching for ways to invest in yourself.
Yes.
And I know you attended a large number, both your husband and yourself, large numbers of personal development seminars, workshops, conferences. Would you please talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, and I feel like that, like I said, it was what kept us hopeful. We would attend an event, and we would come away feeling like, you know what, we can accomplish anything. We can become all that we were meant to become. We can achieve prosperity. And it would, I like to say it like this, our life and our pursuit of happiness is like a large combination lock, the kind that has the dials that you have to turn and make the right numbers in the right order.
Uh-huh.
And if you can imagine one that has maybe a, I don't know, 50 dials on it, 50 of those rotating discs that each have a number on it, And each one was like a seminar for us, or a book. It wasn't always investing monetarily, but it was always investing time.
Exactly.
One way or another. You don't have to have money to invest in yourself.
That's right.
You can go to the library and pick up books.
Exactly.
And books are really nothing more than seminars in print, and so you don't have to be able to attend expensive seminars.
Mm-hmm.
But each one, I remember the epiphanies that I would receive. I would read something, and something would strike me as important and powerful, and I would make a note of it in my journal and say, wow, I just learned this. This is amazing. I guess this is how life works. It's important to think positive, you know, or something little that sounds cliche, but at some point it really struck me deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And to me that was like turning one of those dials and putting it in the right place. Was it enough to unlock the lock? No. But it was one step.
Mm-hmm.
And each time I invested in myself, each time we did this, another one of those dials would be put into place.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, it took more than 100 seminars. For other people, it takes one.
That's right.
For some people, it takes one book.
Exactly.
Or one conversation with the right person.
That's
right. And it unlocks the door. And just to kind of fast forward, mm-hmm. after about 7 years of going through this and not seeing a lot of change, and being really frustrated that there wasn't more change that seemed to match the personal inside growth that I was feeling, I decided I would go to just one more. And if that one didn't unlock the gate for me, I was done. I couldn't justify investing the money that we were investing any longer. And thankfully, that was the one that turned that final dial.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there is no final because this is a continual growth forever. But
exactly.
for us at that point, it was enough to... for the lock to spring open, and in 3 months we were able to apply that final piece of information we gathered to achieve triple our income in 3 months. Triple. It was the breakthrough that we'd been looking for. And as I think back, there was all of these different sub-laws of the commandments that we had to apply. I can picture the Lord just with his arms full of everything that we could want and need.
Mm-hmm.
In this life, waiting for us to think right. It's
right.
Yours if you just think right. Okay, I'm sending you a challenge. If
yes.
you can perceive this challenge with the right mindset, the abundance is yours.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what it's all about, is learning how to think.
That's right.
Learning how to think, because he wants us to be in gratitude no matter what.
That's right.
He wants us to think solution-minded instead of hopeless-minded no matter what. He wants us to pray with a vision in our head, a picture on the screen of our mind of what we're praying for, instead of praying with a vision or a picture on the screen of your mind of the disaster you're trying to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
That is one very small little tweak in thinking properly, but that right there can make all the difference.
Exactly. Exactly. I want to just take a little time before I add my couple of cents to that conversation. I want to remind the listeners that you can call in at any time you so desire to ask a question of Leslie. And the number is 646-915-8166. And of course, the chat room is up and running, and you can go there at www.blogtalkradio.com/Daphne-Clark-Hudson. But please join us in this dialogue. You know, Leslie, I know you had mentioned earlier on what it took for you to get to where you are, but I wanted the listeners to really get it clear, because I know one of my greatest challenges in what I do is working with Christian people. Because they sit down with their arms folded and their legs crossed, they're rocking chairs because they are waiting on God. And I said, God already gave you the idea. You need to begin to take action, because unless we take action and we start, he is not revealing the entire picture to us. And people sit down and they want the whole picture. And I'm saying, Can you imagine if God gives you the whole picture of what you're supposed to be doing? You are scared now and you just got a little peace.
I can't. Can
you imagine to see the whole thing?
Yeah, I could not handle what he has in store for me. I know that if he were to show me everything that he has for me to do or the things that he has for me to conquer,
mm-hmm.
I would go to bed and I'd put the covers over my head and I would stay there.
That's
you
right,
know.
And you drink some chamomile tea so you just get extra rest because you are afraid to get up. Because
yeah,
the picture, when we are walking in our calling and our purpose, it is larger than you, Leslie. It's larger than Daphne. It's larger than the listeners because we are here as a vessel that God is working through. So
yeah.
He knows the end from the beginning. And so long as we are obedient and follow his instruction and take action, we will conquer everything that he created us for.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just want to tell the listeners, get up. You mean rise out of your cocoon. Don't sit there for safety. You need to become a butterfly. You know, you need to become a butterfly. You have been a caterpillar way too long. And it is time for a manifestation because you are created for greatness. And that's the reason we are here this morning, to let you know that there is a lot of light at the end of the tunnel. But if you do not venture to the entrance, you are not going to be able to see that.
That's true.
You know, Leslie mentioned that, you know, you don't have to go to expensive seminars. You can get books. And I know that's another challenge for a lot of adult people. They do not even have a library card. And I just want to encourage, if you are one of those people this morning, wherever you are, whatever country you are listening to us from this morning, get a library card and start, make a commitment how many books you want to read a month. And if you think you'll be able to listen versus reading, go ahead and get the book, because they have audiobooks that you can borrow to, and you can pop them in your record player or your CD player. And you can still invest and develop in yourself.
You know, and everybody listening to the call right now is investing in themselves.
Yes. This is the beginning, because you're not listening by accident. You were destined to be on this call this morning. And, you know, people say sometimes, Leslie, oh, well, where do I begin? I don't know where to begin. And it's only one place to begin, and it's where you are. Wherever you are today, by you being on this show, it is your new beginning. And please do not allow anyone to tell you otherwise. It is your beginning today. It is like today is the first day of the rest of your life. This will be the day that you will put in history that made a difference for you. Leslie, let us talk about your first book a little.
Okay. Are you talking about the first one or the real first one?
The first one, not Jack Rabbit Factor. The first one. And then we'll go move into Jackrabbit Factor.
Okay, well, the first one is Hidden Treasures, Heaven's Astonishing Help with Your Money Matters. And the reason there's a question of whether it was first or not is because Jackrabbit Factor was put in print first, actually simultaneously. But Hidden Treasures was written first and circulated as an e-book for many years before it was published.
Published, yes.
Yeah, and actually the background on that was I have a friend, and this is a wonderful website you should check out as well, called SheLovesGod.com. SheLovesGod.com. It's a wonderful place for articles supporting Christian values and a place where you can express your own ideas and create articles of your own and get your message out as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a friend of mine, and she asked me I am going to back up. I don't often tell this story, but I feel like I should.
Okay.
We lived in another location several years back, about 10 years ago, And I was facing a very, very difficult personal situation where I was feeling required to forgive somebody that was, I was having a very hard time forgiving a person for something that had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I had exhausted all of my resources, all of the scripture study, all of my counseling with my religious leaders,
mm-hmm.
Friends, family. They had all pretty much got, I'm sure, tired of hearing me try to work this through. You know, you can't talk enough about it until it's purged. It's just hard to overcome some of these things.
Uh-huh.
But I because I had come to the end of all resources that I knew of, I overcame a fear and decided to go search the internet. I was afraid of the internet because I was afraid of finding things that I would not want to see or find.
Right.
But I was so desperate for help and guidance on how to release this bitterness.
Yes.
That I went to the internet, and SheLovesGod.com was the first place I found.
Oh.
And I discovered that it was a very safe place, and I enjoyed reading, and I joined their newsletter, and at one point, the owner, her name is Marnie, she sent an article about forgiveness, and I thought, oh, this is why I'm supposed to be here, and I read the article, and it was a wonderful article, but it wasn't anything I hadn't already heard.
Yes.
And so I responded to the article, and I said, you know, I'm sure you're busy, but I just I'm looking for additional help on this topic. If you have time, I'd love to work with this and get your input on it.
Right.
And she responded. And I was amazed because she is she was one of the first people on the internet to create a database of articles. She's
yes.
a pioneer in the industry, and she has a lot of subscribers, and so I was surprised that she replied, but we got talking through email.
Yes.
And she said, well, I'm sure you can understand that the reason I wrote the article is because I was struggling with forgiving someone myself. And, of course,
wow.
that had never crossed my mind because I was too self-absorbed with my own problem.
Wow.
But I said, really, what happened? And it had to do with something that had happened that caused them to go from being out of debt to back in debt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she was really struggling with those feelings. And I said, well, money, I could help you with that because I had already had our breakthrough and I had learned so many things.
Wow.
And I said, I could help you with the money thing. And so we started conversing through the internet and on the phone, and I essentially took her through my seminar virtually.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, and this was about 10 years ago, at the time she was earning about $2,000 through her websites each month.
Uh-huh.
And the month after that, she made $4,000. And the month after that, she made $8,000. And she
wow.
was just so excited about what she had learned that she said, you have got to teach this to my readers.
Wow.
Will you write a series of articles on these laws you're talking about, and I'll send them to my subscribers? And so once a week for 7 or 8 weeks, I wrote an article on each of the 7 main primary laws that I had learned. And eventually, those articles were compiled and formatted to become
uh-huh.
the book, Hidden Treasures, Heaven's Astonishing Help with Your Money Matters. And so that's where that began.
Wow.
And it's a powerful book. And but I found that a lot of people weren't necessarily quite ready for the information that was in it. And that's why I wrote Jackrabbit Factor. It's a story that prepares people's minds for the meatier information in Hidden Treasures. Are you there, Daphne?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes.
I think I lost you for a minute there.
Yes.
So, yeah, and again, Jackrabbit Factor is a free read. It doesn't cost you anything to go to jackrabbitfactor.com and download the free book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Hidden Treasures is the one that people say, you know, I love what I've learned from Jackrabbit Factor. Hidden Treasures is the one I will go back to over and over and over again. It helps them through every situation, helping them know, okay, in this situation, how do I need to think so that I can stay receptive to the abundance God has for me?
Thank you so much, Leslie. You know, it's amazing how God always have the right people that needs to add value to whatever we are doing and vice versa. So, you know, with the trend and the development of the internet these days and technology, you never know where around the world that person is.
But we just have to be open and to be receptive and to just reach out if we know we need help. A lot of people, they are not reaching out and they are not asking. And we are not unique in the challenges and the struggles that we go through. There's always somebody else going through the identical thing or something that resembles it closely. But you are not alone, so there's no reason to be ashamed. I had a guest on last week, I think it was Lorna Owens, and she was pointing out that people are afraid of asking for help because they think that it shows weakness, but you know, instead, it shows that you know you're strong, and people who ask for help is people who want to remain strong in whatever they're doing.
Right. Right. And I've also learned that when we ask, when we begin asking the right questions, and we begin setting goals properly in alignment with the principles, with God's universal principles, when we start doing that and we ask for more money, what happens is he sends you a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't just send you the money. He sends you a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And as you overcome the challenge with the right thought processes, mm-hmm. on the other side of it is the money you asked for.
And exactly.
So,
and that's why we are all problem solvers. And the only thing that we need to do in this whole puzzle thing of life journey is understanding what problem we were all created to solve. Mm-hmm. And as long as we have clarity on that, then we are going to be able to make all the money that we need, because there's no shortage of money. There's enough out there for each and every one of us. We just need to know what problem we need to solve to get it. You mentioned earlier on about clarity in thinking and all of that. Ask the right questions, surround ourselves with the right mentors and people who have already done it. Because a lot of people, Leslie, I have found out that they have such competitive spirit and they are so gung-ho on competing against the next person. So instead of seeing the other small business owner or coach or mentor or whatever business person it is as someone who they can network with or learn something from, where there is no need for them to reinvent the wheel, they see it as a competition and they hold on and they don't want to open up to share. And I think that in itself is a mistake.
Absolutely. You know, there is no need for competition. And that was really good news for me, because growing up, I always despised the feelings I'd get when I was competing against someone else for a prize. I always loved the games when my mother would host birthday parties, the games where everybody had an opportunity to, and this is kind of on a side note, but it's a perfect illustration. One of the games that I remember her showing me when I was five, it was on my fifth birthday,
mm-hmm.
there was a prize for each child tied to a string, and that string was wound all through the room and tangled up in a web and strapped over the furniture and everything, and on the other end of the string was a pencil.
Uh-huh.
And all we had to do was pick the pencil, and then we would roll the ring around the pencil, or roll the string around the pencil, and you had to roll it up, get it untangled, go through the problems, overcome the tangles and climb over the kids and everything, and you knew that at the end of that string was your prize and nobody else was going to be able to take it from you. And that's how it is with these goal-setting principles, is that whatever it is you want is yours and nobody else can get it from you. It's yours if you do what you need to do.
Exactly. There are certain principles that we need to follow, and so long as we follow those principles, no one will take what is yours, because Yours is there with your name on it, Leslie. Mine is there, and all the listeners. Their portion is there with a beautiful gold label on it, with their name. And it is only going to be left there if you decide you do not want to choose it.
And, you know, part of, let me just give you an example of how to think right that is counterintuitive. It's a little bit against the natural thinking processes, but suppose you want a job and there is one position open and there are 200 people trying to get that position. It looks like there is competition, but in reality, all you have to do is see yourself in the kind of work that you want to do, see yourself enjoying yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Answer the question, what will it feel like when I am working there?
That's
what will that feel like? And as soon as you can generate those feelings, you have turned it over in a spiritual way to place that order. And in fact, it may look like there's competition, but it's a conscious choice to say there is no competition. If that position goes to somebody else, that means that my position is still in creation and it's on its way. It's a choice. Realize that if that one doesn't come through, there is a better one waiting for you, and you can be grateful that you did not get it.
That's right, because you would just be a hindrance, because that position was not for you, and you get in there, you were going to be frustrated, you were going to become burnt out, you were going to become stressful, and you were going to make that be a very unpleasant environment or surrounding for your coworkers. And, you know, Leslie, wouldn't it be amazing if we were all so connected to why we are, who we are, and all of that thing, and know what our calling and true purpose is in life? If we had clarity on all those things, we would not go applying for the wrong jobs. Because we would look into to what their description is, and we know, okay, Lord, this is not for me. This is for the next person. But because we all do not have clarity, this is why we end up in those dead-end jobs and jobs where we go to work Monday morning and we're over the water cool and we're asking when it's Friday.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes, you know, there have been times where I feel like I had absolute clarity on what I wanted, and I went for it, and I obtained it, but I found out that it wasn't what I thought it was going to be, and it wasn't because it wasn't the reward I expected it to be, but it was the package of challenges that I needed to experience so that I could grow and become more like what God wanted me to become, so that I could be able and ready to receive the real blessing that He had on the other side of it. Everything is a gift. The good, the bad, the in-between, it's all a gift. And if we approach every one of them that way, then what He sees is a humble servant and an obedient child who deserves all the blessings that are available. You know, I think about the story of the farmer who stormed around just complaining that everything was not going well, and he didn't like his barn, and he didn't like his family, and he didn't like, you know, all these complaining. And God upstairs was saying, man, you think you have it bad now? I'll show you what bad is. You can imagine what was coming. Now, on the other hand, another farmer going around, and no matter how bad things appeared, he was grateful for everything. He was grateful for the barn that it actually covered the animals. He was grateful for his family that he wasn't alone. He was grateful for his wife. He was grateful for everything, even though on the outside it might not have seemed ideal. And upstairs, God was saying, wow, you think you have it good now? I'll show you what good really is.
Yes, yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, because you know something? I make it a habit. It's part of my practice to always give gratitude. And, you know, people say, oh, you always make such a big thing out of a little thing. And I said, no, to me, this is a humongous thing. It's not a little thing, because I know that I need to show appreciation for this little thing, the little thing that you think is little. You really don't know the impact it has on my life. So if I don't take the time to show appreciation, then I might not get the opportunity of receiving a greater thing. And I think some people just miss the boat on this, and they are just waiting for that big opportunity, you know, in which to start showing gratitude. But you need to start where you are, because, you know, my mother always say, Leslie, if you cannot thank God for the little thing, when you get the big thing, you're still going to take it for granted too and not thank him. So just get into the habit of thanking for whatever it is that you get.
And it's not hard to imagine how this works, because I have children and I want them to have everything. I want them to have all the best food, the best clothes, the best toys. I want them to have all of it, because it's fun to enjoy those things. It's a wonderful experience. But I cannot reward their ingratitude. It's like, even if I have the most amazing thing ready to hand them, if they are complaining about the little things, I can't give them a message of, oh, I am rewarding your ingratitude, because they will make that connection that, oh, if I complain, I get nice things.
And
my children have learned, it's kind of funny, they've learned that they need to be grateful for all things. And when we go out on a family outing and we maybe go to the movies or go to dinner or something, even if they sense that my husband or I are irritable about something that may have happened or something that one of the kids did, you know, and maybe we've got that energy that we're fuming and trying to control our anger or whatever, the car might be quiet, but inevitably someone will remember and say, thank you, Mom and Dad, for taking us. Because they've remembered that gratitude is the first step, the first key to transforming the energy in your environment.
That's right.
And that opens you up to receiving more wonderful things when you express gratitude.
That's right. And you know, can't we all learn something from children?
Oh, yes.
You know, there's so much. If we still ourselves enough and listen to those powerful little people, we can learn so much from them. We can learn so much from them. Leslie, we are almost at the half mark point. I wanted to just take a few minutes here and tell the listeners how to connect with you, please. Your phone number and all of that.
Jackrabbitfactor.com is the website, the easiest website to get started with me, and there is a contact button at the bottom of that page, and that's the easiest thing to do. We've recently changed our business line phone number, and honestly, I don't even know what it is right now, but if you just go to jackrabbitfactor.com, I know that all of our listeners are internet savvy, or they wouldn't be on your call.
Yeah.
So go there and just check on the contact button at the bottom of the page.
Yes. Thank you so much. And if you're just joining, you're listening to the conversation between Leslie Householder and the dynamic Daphne Clark Hudson, Queen of the Empowered Soul. And we are so excited that you are joining us. Let us hear from you on the phone. The phone lines are open. The number is 646-915-8166. That's the call-in number. And the chat room is on. And for the people in the chat room, I'm switching back and forth from my switchboard to the chat room. So if you're there and I haven't reached out to you yet, I will get to you. Okay, so just bear with me. Multitasking is not one of my favorite things to do. But I love you all, so I focus on doing that when we have this show on. So please, let us hear from you. Email your friends, tweet them, Facebook them, whatever you have to do. And let them know they need to call in to the A New Day Show at 646-915-8166 so they can join the conversation between Leslie Householder and the Queen of the Empowered Soul. Okay, so we have 15 minutes remaining in this this first episode. Leslie, I know that I've read the Jackrabbit Factor. We had you on the show before, and I've heard about your humble beginning and your family's humble beginning. And we spoke a lot about the financial struggles that your family encountered during those times. As an entrepreneur slash small business owner, in the beginning, were there any other challenges other than financial that you encountered?
Well, you know, we had medical situations. I had my second baby was born with a heart defect that we didn't know he had ahead of time. We were getting ready. We were packing to leave the hospital when the nurse came in and from the nursery and told me that there was a problem. He had turned blue. And they didn't know why, so they put him under an oxygen hood put him in a helicopter to the children's hospital. And we found out that he needed to have open-heart surgery.
Wow.
We were having a hard time putting food on the table, you know, alone. And so that was a stress and a challenge. He did come out okay on that, and he's well and fine. But you know, it's just another one of those challenges that I feel like God sent our way to shape us.
And strengthen you and mold you.
Mold us, yeah, and prepare us for greater things.
Yes.
It turned out to be a real great blessing in our life, and the kinds of relationships that we developed with people who stepped forward to support us. And, you know, it's through affliction that that our characters are shaped. And we can either become bitter and hardened, and it doesn't go, that is a dead end. I'm telling you right now, to become bitter and hardened against God for the things that happen in your life is a dead end road. There is nowhere that goes. And I've gone down that road, and it goes nowhere. You eventually just become more and more miserable forever, or you have to at some point stop the madness and say, okay, I'm going to back up out of this path, and I'm going to choose to love the Lord anyway, and then the blessings can start to flow again.
You know, I have personally learned, Leslie, that during those challenging times is the time when I grab my journal and my pen and I start penning on paper the lessons that I'm learning right there, because I said, Lord, I know I'm here for a lesson, and I'm going to just write everything down because I might not be focusing enough right now to find the lessons here. But I know as I go back and I reread the pages of my journal, that lesson will pop out at me when it's time for me to appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And because I have found out that my life is a big puzzle, and, you know, some pieces are so together, nothing is going to shift them from where they are, and one of those, couple of those pieces, they are my faith and my spiritual health and spiritual knowing. Yet, there are other pieces of the puzzle of my life journey that I still need a lot of work on, and this is why I surround myself with the people that I do, because each and every one of you, Leslie, whether you're a guest on my show or you're someone that I listen to your show, you are helping me to become all that God has intended me to be. And for that, I am grateful, and I pray that each of the listeners this morning will find that out as they re-listen and re-listen to this episode.
You know, and I found that as I try to surround myself with people who think in this way, it confirms to me the truth of it, the validity of it, because every time, I mean, I feel like I discovered these things on my own, you know, from learning from others and whatever, but it was an internal journey and a discovery, and when I finally understood it to the point of seeing results change in my life, and I would cling to other people who had similar experiences, we're
mm-hmm.
all coming to the same conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells me that the Spirit is working on people individually and leading them to these truths so that when they find them, they can be of service, and so that they can help other people in the world find the freedom. And, you know, all freedom stems from operating on these principles in one form or fashion. It all comes down to living according to the universal laws that govern the universe, that were created by God.
That's right. That's right. And we are not on here preaching about religion and all of that. We are talking about universal laws, that it doesn't matter what you do, you can't mess it up, because it's a universal law, and you just need to follow them.
Right.
Because nobody nowhere, no matter how affluent they are or anything like that, they cannot prevent you from claiming your lot.
Right. And that's one thing I love about these principles, is that because they are universal, they operate for people of all cultures, all religious beliefs, all backgrounds. It is one of the most unifying experiences I've had to meet people all over the world who have different beliefs than I do, who have different understandings of why we're here than I do, and all of that. But the principles that I'm talking about work for all. It
yes.
rains on everyone. The sun shines on everyone. It even works for people who do not believe in God. And how merciful
exactly.
is that? How merciful is that?
Exactly, because, Leslie, this was spirit just work, because that was my thought. I have certain people that I know who are devoted Christians and believers, but when it comes around the fact that there are people who are not saved, who are not practicing religious or spiritual things, however, they are so in connection and in touch with universal laws, and they apply them, and because of that, they are prosperous, they are wealthy, and they are exceeding and surpassing a lot of people who are Christian believers. And one special woman, I love her dearly, but she just have no tolerance for that. She said, you know, they're not serving God, they're not going to church, why should they have so much? And I said, because they are practicing universal things. There is
yeah.
nothing that you can do to prevent them from having what is there. I said, there are universal laws that they are applying and taking advantage of. So I said to her, instead of getting so ugly about that, why don't you start practicing those universal laws so you will claim what is yours? Because
you know,
it's not their fault that they are doing what God expects them to do, even though they are not acknowledging Him, but they are putting the universal laws into practice. They are implementing these things.
And that pleases God, whether or not they believe in Him.
That's right.
You know, and I know that some of my listeners, because I will be directing this call to some of my subscribers who are not Christian, and I love how unifying these principles are. And for those who are Christian, if you just look back on the life of Jesus Christ and how He did not condemn anyone,
That's
He condemned
right.
no one,
right.
believers and unbelievers.
That's
He
right.
He allowed His mercy to extend to everyone. And so if you're a Christian believer, shouldn't you feel the same way?
That's right. That's right. You know, this past Sunday, Leslie, I coordinate a French cultural exchange program here in Connecticut where the youngsters visit France for 21 days, and they are part of an immersion program, so they get the opportunity of living in the homes of Americans. And this past Sunday, one of the young men asked to visit church with me. And I took him to church, and after that we went into Costco's, the wholesale place, because I had some shopping to do. And we were talking with a gentleman in there who was one of the display wholesalers of a product. And we get into the conversation about where we were coming from and that we were coming from church. So the student asked him, do you believe? So he said, believe in what? So he said, do you believe in God? And he said, yes. But he said, I believe in him a little differently from most people do. And I said to myself, this is going to be interesting. Let me hear how this conversation is going.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to the young man, I believe in a God who does not condemn and who does not say that we are no good and we are this and we are that. And I said, well, that is God. God never condemns. I said, we condemn each other, but God never condemns anybody. And it was just an enlightenment to look on the reaction of the young man's facial expression when he got that answer. And he was nodding his head in affirmation to what the young man had said to him. And we had a very stimulating conversation about his spirituality in France and what he experienced being at church with me. He said he, as he looked around in the congregation, Leslie, he said, I saw so much happiness, and I saw that people were joyful. He said, quite unlike when I go to church in France, he said, sometimes, Daphne, he says, oh, I look around and people are snoring because they are not experiencing this joy. And he said to me, what do I think contributes to that? And I say to him, I can speak for me, and I'm sure if you speak to each other person, they will have a different explanation. But I said, when I go to church, and I said, even every morning when I wake up, for me it's a privilege. And I just am joyful that I have one more opportunity to give thanks for all the wonderful things that are part of my life. So I said, when I go to church, it's time for me, extra time for me to worship and praise God, regardless of what anybody else is next to me is doing. I'm not interested in them. I'm there to give him my greatest adoration of praise.
Yeah.
And I was so excited that I was able to bring him in an environment that gave him that other outlook of life. It's something that I'm sure, and I'm praying that he will never forget for the rest of his life.
Oh, I'm sure he won't, because I'm convinced that any time the Spirit touches our hearts, that is something that is written indelibly forever. That
yes.
No matter where we wander, no matter what choices we make forevermore, that is an experience that we cannot forget, and we will be accountable to those things. And, you know, and like you said, we condemn ourselves by our choices, by when we understand a certain principle and choose willfully to disobey it. We condemn ourselves. It's not God saying, oh, go to the corner, you
That's
know,
right.
like an angry father.
That's
it's,
right.
It's, I'm sorry that you made that choice. I have to withhold this blessing.
Right, right, right.
So
and
it's all very interesting.
We are the one that we put so much pressure on ourselves, and we keep reprimanding ourselves. But our Father's arm is always outstretched to embrace us.
Yeah.
You know? He's always there to love us. Unconditional love. He's
and
never withholding any good thing from us.
And whether we grew up with a father who demonstrated that kind of unconditional love, you know, it might be easy for some people to say, "Oh, I can imagine God being like that because I had a father like that." But on the other hand, if you didn't have a father like that, you have contrast. Imagine what the perfect father would be like. If you know what an imperfect father looks like, could you imagine God being an imperfect father?
That's
no,
right.
He's perfect. What did you expect out of a father? And that's what God is.
That's right. And, you know, my take on that is whether or not you grew up with a father that loved you unconditionally, you are now in the presence and have the availability of a father who will give you all those things that you didn't get from your biological father and more. So you know, step out in faith and do not deprive yourself. Just step out and enjoy every bit of the abundance that he has for you.
So, Daphne, I have a question for you.
Yes, Leslie.
If somebody's listening to this call and they're thinking, yes, I need to do something, I'm going to take action on what I'm learning, I need to step into this life, you know, the first step for every person might be different. How would you coach someone to say, okay, you're ready to take a step? How do you know what the next step is for each individual?
When I sit in what I call an intake session with one of my clients, we brainstorm and we have a very energized, stimulating dialogue. And what I'm actually doing at that time is I'm extracting from that person the things that they enjoy doing, what are the things that really keeps them up at night just thinking about them, what are some of the things that really agitate you every time you see them out of place. So it's like I'm emptying out everything, and then I have them all in a big box. And I'm not asking them to discard anything. But then all those things that I've extracted, Leslie, I then go back and I prioritize them. Sometimes I find out that they all go into different groups under different headings. And as we identify those things together, my next question to the person would be, as you look on this list as it is right now in front of you, our list, are there anything on here that you have repeatedly heard from people that you are just so exceptional at doing? And they say, oh yes, it's this, it's that, it's the other. So as we create this second list, then we fit them under different section. You know, for example, if the person is an excellent listener, you know, we would identify the careers or occupation that requires that strength. And then we will discuss those things. The one thing I always do is not allow them to discard anything. We put things on the back burner. So after we identify those things that people say they're good at doing and they feel good at doing, then we narrow the list down to what are you really excited about? What gets your adrenaline pumping, you know? Because I can probably say that they make good red velvet cake, and they probably don't want to do that, you know? So we talk about what you're excited about now. As we have this discussion, how are you feeling around this thing? So I have this discussion with them, and a lot of times, Leslie, people say to me, oh, my God, I can't believe this thing is right under my nose. That's a common description they always say. I could never think it was this simple. What I have found out is that people are always looking that their calling and purpose needs to be something that is complex. So that answers your question, Leslie.
Yeah. And you know, I think what most people will find is that they don't recognize their own talents and abilities as unique. They think everybody knows what they know, or they think everybody can do what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the first things, is to recognize your uniqueness, because the more unique you are, the more your experiences have shaped you in a unique way, the more mm-hmm. value you can bring to others from your perspective. It is unique. You are different. Even if you were to write my book again, it would be different, you know, and it would reach people that I can't reach. And so it's all about finding our path.
Exactly, finding your path and what triggers you. You know, you mentioned about people looking at things that is easy and all of that. I had I had an amazing experience last week, Leslie. For the past 5 weeks, I was taking a class called Introduction to Film, right?
Introduction to what?
F-I-L-M.
Film.
I hate movies. But maybe that is kind of a strong word. I'll go to them and I sleep halfway through, you know. I rarely, that's not my favorite thing to do. And I had this class, which was a 5-week class, and, you know, the textbook was $130-something, and I said, you know, I really don't like this class. I don't want to spend so much for the textbook. It's not a book I'm going to be using again and all of that. So a friend of mine from church, I know that was her major, and it is also the major of her husband. So I said, I bet they have that book in their collection. So I called them up, and of course they had the second edition in their collection, which they loaned me, and they also loaned me a couple others. Now, Leslie, I did not look, well, I couldn't look because it didn't say, it just said the name of the one of the authors on the book. I had no idea that the seventh edition of the book was now done by two authors versus the one on the second edition.
Uh-huh.
So trouble. So now it's time for me to do my final paper, and I'm up the creek because a lot of the information I am missing. So I emailed my friend. I said, can I have a couple minutes to just brainstorm this topic with you and everything? And her husband said something to me which was a real eye-opener. He said to me, we look at this all the time. It is so easy to us. You know, it comes mm-hmm. so easy. Now by you really talking with us, we realize that this thing is not as easy as we saw it. It's just because we are passionate about it and excited about it.
Yeah.
And that is so much truth in that. And it's the same thing with our calling and purpose. It is not difficult to know why we were created, because it is the thing that comes easy to us. It's the things that they are the things that we are excited about. We can just roll it off our tongue without any hitch. So it's easy. If we just still ourselves and ask God, please give me clarity to help me really affirm that this is what you create me for, He will give it to you. And this is why, Leslie, I am such an advocate for journaling.
Oh, yes.
You know, I don't know what my life would be without journaling.
Well, and I think some people think, oh, that's so boring to just write what happened. But I tell you, if you have a question, a burning question that you don't have an answer to, sometimes just putting the question in your journal leads your thoughts to new thoughts you've never had before.
Exactly.
And you eventually, by the time you're done, your answer may have been even composed. That has happened to me so many times.
Oh, yes.
Because it makes you think introspectively. It makes you pay attention to your feelings. It makes you pay attention to the little inspirations that God sends your way. Mm-hmm. And you acknowledge them. And the more you do that, the more He sends you.
Mm-hmm. What I have found out over my years of journaling, Leslie, is that for me, the more I journal, the emptier I become. Then mm-hmm. the more creative my thoughts become. And as for my critical thinking process, when I'm empty, I can expand more on that. But if I don't journal, there's so much in me and there is no room for anything else. So
I like that.
I just enjoy just emptying out and get more stuff.
I like that. And you know something else, too, is that when we don't write down the lessons we've learned, we are more likely to forget them and we'll have to experience the challenges again that will teach us the same lessons.
That's
so
right.
If you learn the lesson and you write it down, you can look at it like proving to God, I got it, look, I got it, I wrote it down. Don't need to go through that one again, you know.
Right.
It can be a way to have rapid progress in your life to bigger and better things.
Exactly. Just to give you a time check, Leslie, we have 50 minutes remaining. I want to remind the listeners to be bold, step out, and call. The number is 646-915-8166. And, of course, the chat room is open. So let's hear your beautiful voice on the phone and ask some questions. Okay, so Leslie, what are you working on at this time? What should we be patiently waiting for?
Oh, well, I know some of our listeners have read The Jackrabbit Factor. I promise it's an experience that will change your life, but right now I'm working on the sequel to that book. And it's interesting the way things work, because I sat down to write the sequel and I realized that in order to accomplish that, I needed to give a little more foundation to the beginning of the story, and it turned into a prequel first.
Oh.
So it actually wraps around 10 years prior to that very first argument in the story.
Wow.
Just for those who have not read it, it's about a couple who are at the end of their financial rope, and they get in an argument at the beginning over money, and that's the beginning. Well, in the sequel, at the end of the story, there's something that I'm not going to disclose, but for the sequel, I answer a piece of what happens at the end, but in order to do that, I had to back up 10 years prior to that first argument. So actually, this next book is going to sandwich The Jackrabbit Factor right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be 10 years prior and another 12 years after.
Woo!
So there is a lot that is going to come out in that on how to apply these principles in real-life situations. It's going to be out of the parable dream scenario that the first book is and into real life, and you'll get to see how these work in real life.
Well, I can't wait.
And
when
I hope
can we expect that out?
Last January was my first goal.
That's all right.
Yeah, you set a goal in stone, but the plan is in sand. So, I missed my first objective. And this is what's interesting, is I was writing the story, and I got halfway done by January, which was my first objective. And I knew so clearly that the reason I couldn't finish it is because I had not yet experienced the life situations that needed to be integrated into the story. I had not experienced them as a person. And so I put the book down, and I just got back to life and waited for what those lessons were going to be, and they came. They came, and it culminated at the beginning of July, and it became clear to me why I couldn't write until I had experienced that. And so now, next week, I'm going back up to the mountains to work on the book for a week, and we'll see how far I get.
That's right. That's right. I'm so thankful for you to share that with us and to let us know it is okay, even when you think you're in the middle of a project and your flesh and your human part has a deadline. It is good when we are obedient in knowing that it's not about us. And it's okay to put your pen and paper down and say, okay, Father, I'll go about your business, and you will redirect me when it's time to pick that pen up again.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people would be focusing, oh, I have to have the book out. I have to have the book out. But it's not about having it out. But it's having all the information out that is needed to add value to our lives.
Yeah.
And we need to be very flexible and to obedient to universal laws.
And every idea from conception to reality has a gestation period that is finite.
Mm-hmm.
And if we knew what the gestation period was for each idea in each person's life, and then we could set the date and say, yeah, I know that'll happen on that date. But since we don't know what those gestation periods are, and in reality, a seed in nature, the gestation period can vary depending on the climate and depending on the environment. And we are like that. Our idea may be that idea you have in mind is only a six-month idea.
That's
but
right.
You create the climate for that idea. You can speed up the process with your faith. you can, you know, and sometimes it's planted in the wrong season, and you have to wait for another cycle before the earth is ready.
That's
so
right.
So we don't know, but what we do know is that just like when you're expecting a child, you might have a general idea because of thousands of years of people saying, you know, this took about 40 weeks. We have a pattern. And we know that, yeah, generally it takes about 40 weeks. It can take less, it can take longer. But look at this. If you get to your quote-unquote due date, if you do not have the baby on that day, does that mean you're not pregnant?
That's right.
No. It just means that the time wasn't right. And thank
That's
heavens
right. God
it
bless.
Didn't come. You know? And so what I've decided is that when I don't reach my goal on the date that I set, which was nothing more than my best guess on the gestation, that's all it was, then I say, wow, you know, the next day I am even more expectant. And the day after that, I'm more expectant. I don't look at it as like, oh, I guess this won't happen. That would be the most ridiculous thing to say at week 40. Oh, I guess I'm not going to have a baby. Hello.
No.
You know? It's the longer you have to wait, the more expectant you should become.
Exactly. The greater the expectation. Because, you know, I always ask people, you know, who really knew when they got pregnant? It's just a good guess, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody keeping tab, really. So it's just amazing. Leslie, we have 43 minutes remaining in this episode. And I have to tell you, my prayers is out to the universe because I know God has it in the plan for me to be in the mountains, and he's going to let me know when it's right. He's just going to get all my substance and all my resources intact for that to happen. So
I look forward to that. And for the listeners who don't know what you're talking about, why don't you tell them what you mean?
Say that again, Leslie.
Well, for those listeners who don't know what you're talking about,
you want me to just tell them.
Yeah, tell them what you're planning.
Leslie does one-on-one retreats in the mountain where I can't believe I just changed your gender.
That's okay.
she invites people to join her in a very positive isolation week when she help you to extract that book out of you. And it's just a healthy weekend where you spend, it is spiritually empowered, nutritionally empowered, and it's just you and Leslie and God and the Spirit up there working your stuff. So
yes.
When you come out of that, you're really empowered, you're extra developed, and I know I haven't been there yet, but from the lineup of people who was on the last list, I know this is a weekend that is worth it, and I can't wait to hear about the book that came out of that weekend with the last person that was there with you.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing, and I look forward to next week. I'm going back. And, you know, and it's interesting because I think one of the reasons that the Jackrabbit Factor sequel is not complete is because I have women to meet on these retreats. I mean, I'm going to the mountains to work on my book, but I don't like to go alone. That's why I invite one person to come with me that we can both be working on books at the same time and bouncing ideas off each other and being in a mastermind situation to get the kinds of ideas that God would want us to portray in these books.
Yes, 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 yes. You know, I just want to thank you for devoting your time and for believing in other women and other people that they can reach the greater heights in all the things that they are doing. That speaks volume about who you are and your belief in other human beings. So I'm just so thankful for that and for being part of your network. And can't wait for my weekend, for my week to be up in the mountains. So
I look forward to it. That will be fun.
If I know it will be. Okay, we have 40 minutes remaining, Leslie. If you would give a checklist of stepping out of your comfort zone, because I know there are people on this call, they are successful in what they are doing, but it's like they kind of hit the plateau and they stop growing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if you would give a list, Leslie, a checklist, if you may, that they can use to kind of ruffle their feathers a little. So
are you still there? I think I lost you.
And seeing some more growth. What would that checklist look like?
Well, first of all, you know, I am convinced that we have challenges and trials in this life for the sole purpose of creating desire in our hearts for something better. If things were perfect and we never had challenges, we would have no incentive to grow.
That's
and so
right.
The first thing on the checklist would be look at the things that are dissatisfying in your life and make a list of those things that you would like changed. Maybe you would like to be healthier. Maybe you would like to be smarter. Maybe you would like to have a wider network of supportive friends. Maybe you would like your relationship and your marriage to be stronger. Whatever it is, if there is some level of discontent, then write that down, because that is your first gift, is to look at that discontent as the gift that is making you aware of something that could be better. And then the second thing would be to create in your mind a vision or a picture on the screen of your mind of what it would look like if that was the way you wanted it to be. Now, here's something that I want to stop and make sure that you understand. I'm not talking about, okay, yeah, stronger relationship. Okay, I want a stronger relationship in my marriage. Got it. Okay, what's the next step? No, stop there. Stronger relationship in your marriage. What does that look like? If it were that way today, what would be different? And you need to play the video on the screen of your mind. And that is one of the laws that I'm talking about. God has given us a creative mind that has the ability of placing a picture on the screen of your mind of your choosing. And you have to choose a picture of the way you want it to be. You have to take the time to put it there. That is like going to Amazon.com and saying, I want a book. And you have to put in the search window some kind of a keyword that will bring up the right page. Well, putting the image on the screen of your mind is like putting what you want in the search box at Amazon.com. You've got to do it. You can't just go to Amazon.com, sit there in front of your screen and say, I want Catcher in the Rye, and wait for something to happen. Nothing will happen if you just speak it. Nothing will happen if you just talk about it. Nothing will happen if you just complain that it's not there. You've got to do something, and doing something means putting the image on the screen of your mind. And you'll find out, if you've never done this on purpose before, that it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to control your thoughts that can be so random and so scattered and so jumping from one topic to another all the time. But to stop, to calm your mind long enough to see that image come to view, kind of like a Polaroid that comes out of the camera, and you have to sit and wait for it to come into view and go from black to full color.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do that on the screen of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to answer the question, how is that going to feel? How would it feel if? And write that down. How would it feel? Underline feel three times. How would it feel if?
That's important.
And you can't answer that question until the image is clear. You'll find that. You'll try to answer that question, how would it feel if? And I'm not saying answer like, oh, it would feel great. No, you have to generate the feelings. You have to pretend like it's really there and generate those feelings. Now, these are spiritual principles. You're activating something spiritual when you do that. You're sending this request in a spiritual way to God. And then when you speak the word of prayer and you say, Dear Father, this is what I see. This is what I'm asking for. Thank you for all that I have. Is this a good thing for me to request? And you can ask that question. Sometimes people are afraid of asking for something because what if God doesn't want it for me? I don't want to displease him. Go ahead and find out. Put it on the screen of your mind and ask, is this right for me? And you will feel, if it is right for you, you will feel overcome with joy because those feelings of how it would feel will fill your soul, and you will know that it is good. Nobody could convince you that it is wrong after you feel that. Nobody could talk you out of knowing that it is right for you. Mm-hmm. And once you get that confirmation, then go ahead and ask and allow him to open your mind to what your next step might be. Now, let me just take a little segue here for a minute and make the point, and I don't know if this kind of fits in as a checklist item, but it's something that I need to explain. And that is that your subconscious mind is continually running programs that keep you alive, that keep you safe, that keep your heart beating all day long. Thank heavens you didn't have to remind yourself to beat your heart.
We would not be on the show right now.
It's not something that is on your conscious checklist, and thank heavens. And you don't have to remind yourself to breathe at night, most people.
That's right.
You know? And so your subconscious mind also keeps you safe in other ways, according to its understanding of what safe means. Okay, so whatever has become habitual in your life subconsciously is a safe place for you.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it means you're in an abusive relationship. Subconsciously, you feel safer there because you don't know what elsewhere may look like. It may be worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so subconsciously, you have a program that says you need to stay right here because it's the devil you know. And
right.
That's the same financially as well. You might be broke. You may be destitute. You may be in poverty and struggling. But subconsciously, you're right at home. And I know people struggle with that. They're saying, no, I can't stand this. Something has to change. Well, consciously you're screaming, something has to change. Subconsciously you're saying, I'm perfectly at peace right here.
That's
because,
right.
And here's how you know, when an opportunity comes along that you know in your heart would be a good thing for you to do, to step out, but something inside of you says, no, that's too scary, that's your subconscious mind trying to keep you safe. And again, safe is not always reality, the real safe. It's just, again, a habit. So here's what happens. Once you have an image on the screen of your mind of how things can be, and you've had that feeling in your heart that says, yes, this is good for you, this is good for your soul, it would be a good thing for you to experience that in reality, you have that confirmation, you have changed the state of you. People feel differently around you when you are a dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
They have a different energy that they feel when they're with you. They feel like you're going somewhere. They may not be able to put their finger on it, but you are an advancing person and they know it. And they want to be around that because it's a stream that they want to be a part of. But when you have put on the screen of your mind and allowed yourself to feel a picture of how things can be better, how your relationship can be better, what that would feel like, or your finances, anything, your health, then you are going to be brought, and you can count on this, you will eventually be brought an opportunity that says, here, this is something you can do that will lead you closer to that picture. And it might not be that blatantly obvious. Here it is. Here's what's in response to your picture. But it will be something that will resonate with you as something that would be good and right for you to do. Now, the next thing is that you have to take action. Now, when your physical body goes to take action on the new idea, that subconscious program is wrestling with two truths. The first truth is, and I'll take the example of finances, my truth is I am always broke. That may be the habit, okay? You may be saying to yourself constantly, oh, I'm always broke, I never have enough money. And the more you say that, the more that is your subconscious reality, and that is more of what is safe. Okay, you're telling your mind all the time, I am safest when I am broke, when you say, I am always broke. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So stop saying that. And when you decide, no, I am wealthy, and put it in present tense. When
yes.
you're thinking of your new reality that you want, you have to think about it as though it is actually true, because truthfully, your subconscious mind cannot tell the difference between an experience that is imagined and
That's
an
right.
experience that is actually true. And
mm-hmm.
since it's our subconscious mind that controls our results, and as long as we're lying to it all day anyway, I'm always broke, you know,
mm-hmm.
life is abundance. If you're saying you're broke, you're lying to your subconscious mind because
That's right.
it's not true. So let's give it a new truth that I am wealthy. I have all I need. Now, if you feel like you're lying, don't worry. You're telling the truth. You just have to kind of overcome that. You're telling the truth, and you're convincing your subconscious mind of your new accepted truth. Don't you think that there are things in your subconscious mind you've accepted as truth that are not true? Maybe something you were told as a child that, oh, you'll never amount to anything. Okay, that was a lie. But when we're children, we don't have a filter on what comes into our subconscious mind. We accept everything as truth.
That's right.
So we have to believe that if our life is not what we want it to be, that somewhere in our subconscious programs is a lie that has played out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to reprogram. We're going to give it a new program to run. Just like on a computer, there are programs in the background that don't necessarily have to be running. They may never go away, but they don't have to run.
Right.
And you can upload a new program.
Right.
So you give it a new program, I am wealthy, and affirmations, constantly telling yourself that can help. But more powerfully is when you just take the time to visualize it and feel it and allow yourself to let that settle into the subconscious mind and not reject it as, oh, I'm telling myself this affirmation that is not true, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, you've got to stop those thoughts and just say, no, I accept this as my new truth. I'm not going to cast this out with my unbelief. So with these two programs in your subconscious mind, one saying I am always broken, one saying I am wealthy, on a subconscious level, when there are two contrary truths accepted, it
mm-hmm.
manifests in the body as anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So think about it. When an opportunity comes along that you could take action on, but it may be uncomfortable because it may require an investment, it may require getting out of your comfort zone, it may require talking to someone that you're afraid of, you know, for whatever reason, this action that you take is going to create this anxiety because all of a sudden a new program is dominating and your subconscious mind is saying, whoa, 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 that's not safe, that's not safe. But just remember that all it is two subconscious programs that have been accepted as truth that contradict each other. It's a physiological response is this anxiety. That's all it is. You knew on a spiritual level that it was right when you considered it.
Right.
On a physical level, you have a physiological response of anxiety. And what I've decided is that when I feel that anxiety, when I'm about to take action on a new truth, when I'm about to demonstrate my faith by my action, that this physiological response is nothing more than evidence that I am this close to breaking through.
Right.
And you take action anyway, and you find out that that new idea can dominate by your action. And in fact, that anxiety is also evidence that you have successfully turned over the new program to your subconscious mind. So instead of looking at the anxiety, the physiological anxiety, as a negative, which is what most people do, they say, oh, this must be wrong. I'm going to go back to my comfort zone, and then you're
mm-hmm.
trapped forever in bondage to circumstances. No, you say instead, oh, I know what this is, and it's a positive in my life because I know what it is, and I am aware, and I will take action anyway because on the other side of this is my breakthrough.
Right.
And that is the process that allowed my husband and I to triple our income in 3 months after 7 years of bondage.
Amazing.
And those opportunities will cross your path daily. You'll have an opportunity today
yes.
to take action on this new idea.
Yes.
But the
and
first
I,
step
I,
is,
thank
yes.
you so much, Leslie. I pray that people will go back and they will download this and they will re-listen, because I think the reason a lot of people can't get out of that bondage is because instead of understanding what's truth in our subconscious and what's not and how to convert them, is that we keep adding a lot of what's not truth in the subconscious because we keep going to all these people who don't understand about themselves and what it takes for them to excel. We keep going to them to ask for their approval to step out from where we are to become who God intended us to be. And they tell us again, oh, please, why should you do all of that? So Now you have just given us a process that can help us to overcome that instead of going to seek for other people's approval. We thank you so much for this information.
Thank you. That's powerful stuff. It's so simple. And truthfully, don't you think that God's answers should be simple?
It's simple.
Yeah.
It goes back to what I mentioned earlier on when you asked me the question about how I help people to understand, you know, what to do and how to find out their purpose and all of that. Every time, it never fails, Leslie, people look me in the eye and they say, Daphne, I cannot believe it is this simple.
I know.
I couldn't believe it. I knew this my entire life. I was not looking that it was something that is so simple.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, God is not, he didn't create us to put us through a lot of stress and challenge and everything already. He have all the plan in action, and he created us. We just need to follow suit of what it is he wants us to do. It's all laid out there, step by step. But we're trying to logically figure everything out in our heads, and that's what trip us up again, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, and if you look historically, when has he ever taught his people and worked with his prophets in a fashion that he says, okay, let me show you how this is all going to play out. Now, here's your step-by-step. No, it's never that way. He tells them what he expects, the end results. Okay, Gideon, I expect you to defeat the Midianites. And by the way, I've already delivered them into your hand. Notice
That's right.
present tense. Present
That's
tense.
Right. That's right.
I have already delivered them into your hand before the battle had even begun.
Exactly.
And Gideon had, 32,000 men that he was going to take to battle. And God said, go to your people, and I want you to talk to the soldiers and find out which ones are fearful and send
mm-hmm.
them home. Because
mm-hmm.
it would be better to fight the battle with a few people who are faithful than to have a multitude with fear. And I think of our thoughts like little thought soldiers.
That's
so when
right.
you're going to accomplish a goal, the first step is to cast away the fear. You have no place in your battle for fear.
That's right. Just
and
step
then,
on mold.
Yeah.
Because we are not alone. We are never alone. You know, we just need to step out bold. I tell you, Leslie, I'm wondering where's the time, has the time gone? We only have 22 minutes remaining, and, you know, I just hope you are having as much fun as I am having, because I think we are a match made in heaven.
I am having a lot of fun, and I love that the more impossible the task, the more glory to God, because in
yes.
reality, you know, and if you've studied Gideon and the Midianites, he then said, okay, now, you know what, you have 10,000 men, that's still too many. Take the men to the water and watch how they drink. And for those who drink this way, keep them. For those who drink that way, send them home. He says,
right.
because if you were to win the battle with this many people, you'd think it was your own strength. And
that's,
you know,
about you.
He ended up with 300 men to fight
mm-hmm.
the Midianites. And because God is smart and he has strategies that are beyond our comprehension,
mm-hmm.
he did. He delivered the Midianites into his hand. And I look at finances. I mean, I keep going back to finances just because that was my background and where
That's
I discovered
right.
these principles, but they do apply to anything. And that is that the more impossible the task, the more opportunity the Lord has to show his hand in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to just take a deep breath and let go and let him carry you through it, because mm-hmm. he will make you victorious.
That's
you
right.
will. You will conquer. And because of that, you will be able to teach others how to conquer. And why would not he want that for you?
That's right. That's right. Leslie, I have a question for you. What is your take on tithing?
Oh, it's absolutely critical. And let me explain it this way. Tithing, again, is to give 10% of what you are blessed with, you know, of your increase. The material wealth that we have is not ours anyway. It's our stewardship. And
mm-hmm.
so God gives us this money. And even if it's only $3, if he gives you $3, if he loans it to you to see how you will be a steward over that, the first thing he asks is, just give me 10% back. Mm-hmm. Now, when we do that, you know, he uses it to build his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, he uses it to build you, to
right.
teach you faith in him. Now, if you pay tithing, that's not a promise that you will get wealthy, but let me tell you what it does do, what it has done for me, is it has given me confidence that I am pleasing God.
Yes.
And when I have done that, and when I do the things that give me confidence with the Lord, then I become more courageous to ask for his help in other things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what he requires. He requires us to ask him in faith for the things we
right.
need.
And
they're there. He knows what we need, and mm-hmm. he could give it to us without us asking, but all he requires is for us to ask
yes,
and
to
do his will.
You know, I oftentimes, I'm a strong believer in tithing, and it never fails. Every time I have conversation with some believers, the people who are earning a little bit, they are all for it. But when I talk to the people that are earning a lot, they're not supporting it. And you know, I am such a strong believer like you, Leslie, that it is not always anyhow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when we give tithes back, is we really just giving back to God what is his? Because if he was as selfish as we are as human beings, he would not allow us to have any of that.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not ours anyhow. So why don't we just give it up?
And you know, let me say, this may be the very first opportunity to face that anxiety, that terror barrier that I talk about.
Yeah.
That you know, you may have a belief that I cannot afford to pay tithing. What if I were to put it this way? I can't afford not to. Now, when you have a bill to pay and you have tithing to pay and you have to choose one or the other, it is acting in faith to pay tithing. And it is acting
and
in
then
fear.
The money is going to come from someplace else.
It will. And, you know, it requires faith to say, you know what, I am going to pay tithing first and I'm putting my trust in the Lord. And then get to work finding the way that the Lord has provided for you to meet your needs.
Yes.
You don't pay your tithing and sit on the couch and say, okay, God, where's the money?
Oh, yeah. You got
he
to
will
get
prepare a way, but
action.
You have to find the way.
Action. You know, I thank you, Leslie, for just affirming that this morning, because the Spirit led me to ask that, because I know there's somebody on this show that needed to hear that. I don't know who you are or where you are, but this was something that you needed to hear, that you needed to come to peace with. And I thank Leslie for affirming that this morning, that it's not about us, it's not ours anyhow. So just step out and do and give back what is his.
And if you start there, that will build your faith. You will see his hand in your life, and it will give you courage to do the next scary thing that he asks you to do.
That's right. That's right. We have 17 minutes remaining, Leslie. Well, now it's 16. Would you take 13 minutes to do your closing thoughts, please?
Oh, wow. Closing thoughts. There are no such thing as closing thoughts, Daphne.
Summarizing. Just summarize as best.
Oh, well, first of all, I just want to encourage everyone who's listening to this to know that there is a way out of whatever it is you're facing. It
yes.
exists, and it begins, the whole process of coming out of it begins with believing that there is a way. Because I have seen people, and it pains me to see this, but I have seen people say, oh, I'm in this horrible, horrible situation, and I guess I'm just going to have to settle in.
Mm.
Now, yes, there is a place for that, and it came in my life when I had attended 7 years of more than 100 seminars, and I didn't see the change that I was looking for, and it was discouraging. And when I was discouraged and I had set my goals and they hadn't come true, and I thought, you know what? I guess I'm just going to have to learn how to be happy here. Now, that is a true principle. It is important to be able to do that. But what I'm talking about is people who say, life is miserable. I hate my life. and I can't change it. Okay, so yes, you have to be happy and grateful where you're at. You need to learn to live in peace the way things are. And I will say this, I think we may have mentioned this before, but the movie Facing the Giants, Daphne, I know you don't like movies, but have you seen that one?
I saw that once.
Facing the Giants, and if you haven't seen it, go find it. It's almost anywhere you want to look because it has just spread like wildfire. That one, you will come away from that movie trusting the Lord with your life, and you will come away with it feeling like you can accomplish anything with his help. But there is one scene in there, and I'm going to tell you what to look for. When the wife, she wants to have a baby, and she has just gone to the doctor and was just told that it was not successful, and she was devastated, and she goes out to the car and she says something in prayer. And I want you to go look it up, find it, see what she says. And you have to come approach your goals with the same attitude that she has. So this is your homework assignment. You didn't think you were going to get one, but that is a homework assignment.
That's
to
right.
Go find that movie, watch that scene, and find out how she feels in that moment so that you can adopt that same feeling in your life when you approach your goals. Find peace now, the way things are. Decide that you will serve the Lord the way things are. Even as horrible as they may be, you're going to do your best. Make that commitment to do your best, even as things are. And start making plans for change. Expect that you will find the way, because it exists. And it's, you know, God has so many more answers for us than we have room to receive them. And every challenge that we face is him carving a place, painfully sometimes, carving a place out of our heart for the answer that he wants to give us. He's creating space by making a hole in our heart. Have you ever felt empty? Have you ever felt that dark hole that just is hungering for something? He has created that space, and he has something to fill it with. And so, but he can't give you the answers if you are saying, there's no way I can't pay tithing. There is no way I can't pay my bills. There is no way I can't set boundaries in my life for how people treat me. Whatever it is that is holding you back from becoming all that you were meant to become and for experiencing all the joy that God has to offer, expect to find it, and do not give up until you find it. If it takes you till your dying breath, and if it takes you 40 years, do not give up until you find it, because it is there for you. And life is so short anyway. It's a pursuit worth seeking. It's worth it, and you will be glad that you didn't give up, and you'll find out that you won't have to wait 40 years. Most likely, you may have to wait 2 days. You may have to wait 10 months. You know, there are some goals that I set that I thought were only 2 months away, and they were actually 5 years away. But they were worth pursuing.
That's right.
They were worth pursuing. And, you know, so that's the first thing, is to believe that there is a way out. And the second is invest in yourself. Invest in you. You are worth it. No matter what anybody's ever told you, you are worth investing in, whether that be financially, whether that be just with time, with energy. But build you, because if you build you, you become more useful in the hands of the Lord. And there is no feeling like you're being useful to the Lord. There's nothing to compare with that. Daphne, you live that.
Thank you, Leslie.
Would you agree that there is no feeling that can compare?
Absolutely. Absolutely no feeling. You know, a lady said to me last week, you're always on a high. I said, because I am so passionate about all of you. She said, what do you mean? I said, every day I wake up and I talk to one person, I learn so much more. And she said, my God, I never see anybody. Where do you get all your energy from?
Mm.
And I said, you know, I believe in what I do. And I say, honestly, I have to say it's the God who lives inside of me. And I said to her, I don't even eat right. Because I said, you're talking to me now. I didn't have breakfast this morning. I said, I know it was not a good thing. But I said, I don't feel hungry. And I know, Leslie, that is the God that lives inside of me. It's not about me, but it's the God that lives inside of me, and that what gives me that energy and everything so that I can be a joy to be around. Because people don't want to be around grouches and people who are grumpy and complaining. So I always tell myself, I might be the only Bible that some people read. I might be the only smiling face that they see today.
Yeah.
And I want to really make an impact in their life so that they can have an enjoyable day.
Because, you know, yeah.
You know, I was just thinking that some people, you probably hand them $1 million, and it wouldn't mean anything to them. Mm-hmm. But just giving them a nice, bright smile would put more value in their life.
And I'll add, too, that there is a formula for financial success, for financial capital,
mm-hmm.
and it's mental capital combined with relationship capital turns into financial capital. So instead of focusing on finding the money, build your mental capital, invest in you,
mm-hmm.
improve your value in what you know and in how you serve. And then relationship capital is building relationships, and you do that through service, smiling, through lifting someone up. And as you do that, you will be led to the connections that bring you the money you need.
Yes.
And it begins with trusting in that process. And you know, you say that you sometimes you skip meals because you're just energized with this spirit that works through you. It's funny. I didn't eat this morning either. Sometimes it's inconvenient to feed the body because you're just so on fire with what comes through
yes.
the spirit.
Yes.
And I know I could apply, and there are principles of good health too, but I have also learned that God has the power to trump a lot of things
yeah,
and can create miracles where, where things fall short, you rely on him to make up the difference, and he always does.
That's right.
You know, and with the short time we have left, I feel like I need to say this, and that is that even after learning these principles, I still suffered from depression for some time.
Yes.
And that's, you know, it was a chemical imbalance perhaps while I was pregnant or whatever, but I still felt God telling me in my heart to do and serve and to teach the principles, even when I was depressed and even when the money hadn't manifest.
Mm.
And I remember at one point feeling like I needed to put on a workshop or a seminar. And I thought, are you kidding me? I am the grumpiest. I am the most negative person. I am a witch right now. I can't imagine teaching people how to think positive for prosperity. I can't imagine doing that. But the feeling didn't go away. And I thought, okay, all right. I will go through the motions of putting this together even though I don't feel right. Even though I can't even see anybody wanting to come, I will do it anyway.
And
this is the thing, is that even when you don't think perfectly, even when you don't live all the laws perfectly, that's what Jesus Christ came to make up for, are the mistakes we make and our shortcomings. And even if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you can trust that God can make up the difference. And you know, whatever your background is, I know, like I said, that there may be non-Christians listening to this.
Oh, yes.
And that is their prerogative, and that everybody gets to believe how they choose, and I celebrate that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can trust that God has provided a way to bridge the gap between
yes.
our mortal, you know, efforts
mm-hmm.
and what perfection is. And I can tell you that experience, that seminar was my largest audience to that point.
That's
and that's
right.
when I learned that miracles happen when you are willing, even if you are not perfect, and especially
right.
if you are not perfect, because that is when that God's glory is obvious.
That's right.
That's when it's obvious. If you think you're all that and can put it together on your own,
right. no.
you know, your results are going to be much better if it looks impossible.
That's right.
So.
Because the people in that audience, your imperfection was what they needed to come to their healing.
Yeah.
And it's always amazing, Leslie, it never ceases to amaze me how God just work all the little kinks out. He just has the way of just iron out all our little flaws.
Yeah.
And just elite us and just put her up on a pedestal where we would never climb to, no matter how we try.
And it begins with thinking right. Like here you have circumstances and you think, oh, I could never do that because I'm not good enough. Or you could say, I'm not good enough, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do my best and trust that God can make something out of it.
Exactly.
And that's the difference.
Yeah, we just need to show up. That's all. Be
yeah.
present. And he will do the work in you. Just
and at the yeah.
up.
Sorry. I'm just so excited.
Just show up. Oh, Leslie. Just remind him of your website. And, oh, my gosh, I just hope I get to spend more time with you. Oh, good. I mean,
yes.
You and I could be talking for 16 hours without...
Oh, I know. I know. And then we just need to record it and have someone make a book.
Oh, yes. We just got to do something. God is so good. I thank God that night when I searched and found the Jackrabbit Factor. I just thank him. I've been following your work for years, your newsletter and everything. I just want to thank you for the investment in my listeners and myself, Leslie. You're very generous with your time.
Oh, it brings me joy.
Appreciate that. I pray continued success and prosperity on you and your family.
And I hope to hear from our listeners today, jackrabbitfactor.com.
Yes.
I look forward to serving you further.
Thank you. Thank you. And Leslie, please know there's a platform here. Don't always wait for me to invite you. You can shoot me an email when you have something to say, because I'll make a platform available for you, my sister.
Thank you so
much.
I
thank you for doing God's work, and I look for the growth in our relationship.
I agree.
Thank you, and stay blessed. And for you listeners, I pray that you got the answers you came seeking this morning. You have a list that can help to turn your life around. Know that the power is in your hands. Stop passing blame. You can start where you are right now, because you are destined for greatness. You were designed for a destiny, and I want you to start following your destiny. So long, this is the Queen of the Empowered Soul saying, I'll see you next time on Blog Talk Radio.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? I believe that he's concerned about me. I just begin to say this by faith to the Lord. And I need you to grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing me and directing me. A hallelujah, to my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me, hallelujah, and directing me. Speak to it, my destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this name. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this name. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it?